most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. Excuse me, I have a little cold. Clear it out, just sprayed myself with bee pollen. I'll be good in a couple minutes. Okay, so what is our show about? Our show is broadcast every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, our show, excuse me, here we go again. This is not going well so far. All right. So our show will help you to question your career reality. Now, this show is for you if you were, are, or might be considering a career in the entertainment industry. And our guests provide you with tips, advice, and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in show business. Our guests work in various professions of entertainment, so that means that we will definitely have someone on the show sooner or later from a career that you are interested in. If you want to check out our past guests, read their bios, listen to any of the interviews that we've done since 2008 instantly, and or download one of the shows, you want to go to the LA Talk Radio website, latalkradio.com. Click on the link at the top of the website that says Channel 1. Scroll down, find the graphic of our show, Question Reality. Click the link, and this takes you directly to our archive page. And that is where you can view a whole list of all of our past guests. Now, our shows are also available for download on iTunes under the podcast section and also on Stitcher.com. And you just type in Question Reality Radio, and there we are. If you want to find out about our future guest, and boy, are we loaded with some great guests for next year. I am so excited about some of the people that I was able to secure for your career advice. Some of the hottest casting directors in the business. Valerie McCaffrey is coming on. Oh my God, Joanna Garcia is coming on. Just had Amy Jo Berman on. Going to get her back next year. So actors, you are just going to get great advice this year. You want to find out about them, go to our official website, which is questionrealityradioshow.com, questionrealityradioshow.com, and you can see all of the great guests. Now, today, we are bringing back one of my favorite little men on the planet. His name is Rob Williams. He's been on the show before. He's one of our favorites. We brought him back, and we hope that he never dies, so we can keep bringing him back forever and ever. So we're going to keep our fingers crossed that his wild life that he lives isn't going to cause him to not be with us anymore. Producer Rob Williams of Guest House Films is with us today. If you want to go check out his website, it is guesthousefilms.com, guesthousefilms.com. We are going to be talking about a lot of things today. Specifically, we are going to talk about his sixth and newest film, which is called The Men Next Door, and it just came out on DVD December the 11th. So we're going to find out where we can buy that or where we can see this. Who in the hell wouldn't want to see a film called The Men Next Door? Oh, that just sounds exciting already. Now, the film stars who this guy. He is so sexy. This guy, Benjamin Lutz, is starring in this film. He is sexy, and he is what I call a perfectly buttered piece of toast to start your day. He is hotter than hot. You got to go check this film out just to see this guy, Benjamin. Oh, yeah, we get two thumbs up and two pinkies on that one and two finger waves. Check it out. Now, we're going to find out from Rob some questions like, how do you know when to start your own film production company? We're going to find out, how does a production company self-distribute their films? How do you make people want to see your movie? And some people who have requested this question many, many times, Rob is the perfect person to answer that. How do you choose the best producing partner? So we're going to be asking him those questions, so stay tuned for that. But first, I want to go into a very brief job description of what film producers do. Now, this is so many people who are not in the business, who may be in the Midwest or in small parts of the country or in other countries, may not know exactly what film producers do. And it's really hard to pinpoint everything they do because it is a very, very diverse field. But I'll do the best that I can. So film producers are the people who orchestrate an entire film production. They hire the director, they set the budget, they play a role in nearly every other, or actually every decision. Well, I think every decision, it just depends on the producer, but every decision that's made on their film or the film. And they work very closely with the director to ensure that the director has everything needed to do the best possible job. And that the director, who they tend to go off on their own little yellow brick roads, they help them stay on schedule and on budget. So overall, again, very diverse responsibilities. We couldn't possibly cover it in a 50-minute program. But if you want to find out more, you can do so by just doing some independent research on Google, the library. See if this career is interested, something you're interested in pursuing. So there you go. Now, Rob Williams, again, co-founder of Guesthouse Films. This is an LA-based film company that is the leader in the niche of gay independent cinema. But Guesthouse Films is not just a film production company. They're also a distributor. And some of Rob's films include one of my favorites. I mean, you're going to love this title, Make the Yuletide Gay. Who came up with that title? I still love that so much. Another film, Long Term Relationship, Back Soon, 3-Day Weekend. And he has this series of briefs movies, which they have such clever names. We're going to talk about that a little later. And you can find all of these movies on Netflix, Blockbuster, and Amazon. And their film project, Black Briefs, is the first compilation of dark-themed gay short films, and it debuted at number one on the TLAGay.com website, gay DVD bestsellers list, et cetera, et cetera. So Rob is a very, very impressive man. So we are so lucky to have him here today. Rob, how lucky do you feel being here today is the question.
I feel so lucky. Thank you for having me.
Of course, Rob. You're in high demand. Isn't there a list of people who are longing to get you on their shows and interview you? Am I not lucky?
You are lucky. It's been a crazy week with the DVD coming out this week. We've been crazy busy, so I'm glad I can make time for you.
Tell me, what does that entail? I mean, we're going to get to everybody's questions, but what exactly, I mean, for such excitement to be happening, what exactly is involved to get it to that point? I mean, what do you have to do that will create all that excitement?
Oh, I wouldn't even know where to start. I mean, you've got to, you know, you start with writing the script and then casting the movie and then making the movie and then promoting the movie and going to film festivals so that people know about the movie and then, you know, having your publicist get great reviews for you and, you know, just trying to spread the word through Facebook and Twitter and emails and, you know, it's just a ton of work.
It's a long process. You can bullet point the main highlights of it, but it is such a detailed thing. Let's try to just get some questions and we'll try to break it down, but let's just ask some of the questions which might help a person decide to get to the point where you are. In your opinion, how a lot of people have a very hard time pursuing the arts, as you know, and it's very hard to make a living while pursuing being an actor or an artist or a musician. In your opinion, how mm-hmm. can you earn a living and sustain a career while they're doing what they love, which could be making a movie, music, art, etc.?
It's really tough. It's really tough to make a living And to do that, you know, everyone, you know, most people that I know have, you know, a job, an everyday job that helps them do that. You know, it's, I think you just have to be committed. You have to stay with it. You have to be focused. You have to work really, really hard at what you're doing, and realize that I think the biggest thing for anyone in the arts to realize, if you want to be an actor, if you want to be a director, a producer, or whatever, it's not just the creative part of it, but there's a whole business part of it. You know, it's show business. And so there's a lot of business that you need to take care of in terms of promoting yourself and promoting your projects and working and networking and all of that. And, you know, you kind of have to be working nonstop to get yourself out there and to make sure people know about you and your projects.
It is, so many actors, I'll just focus on actors for a minute, but so many actors, actually musicians, who they have jobs which are typical, bartender, waitress, etc. Mm-hmm. And they tell me that it is soul sucking, that by the time they get off of their jobs, they have a lot of them, very few of them are inspired to go and pursue their craft. They are so mentally stressed out, physically tired. How does one go through that, having a job where it's so stressful for them, and still be able to have the love and desire to continue wanting to make a movie, or even, because that's like a whole full-time job in itself. How do you do it?
It is, and people have to view it as a full-time job, regardless of whether or not they have another job that's paying the rent. You know, trying to be an artist in any sense of the word is a full-time job. And so, you know, you've got to treat it such. You know, if you're an actor, you've got to make the time for the auditions. If you're a singer, you've got to make the time for the performances and the songwriting and all of that stuff. And so, I don't have the answer, but you have to make the time. If you don't have that drive to do it at the end of the day, then you probably shouldn't be doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the people that I know who are successful at it are the people who work at it every day, all day long. And if they get home from their job, they're getting on Facebook to promote their job. They're going to auditions. They're doing whatever they need to do.
Absolutely. So I would say, to sum it up, if you want to be in the arts, you have to have the stamina to work two full-time jobs every single day.
Yeah, and the thing is that the acting jobs or whatever aren't going to come to you. You've got to reach out and try to make it work. And that's the biggest thing. It's like people just need to create the opportunities for themselves. You know, that's why we formed our production company, was to create these opportunities for ourselves that we wouldn't have anywhere else.
Exactly. A lot of actors think, oh, if I could only get an agent, if I could only get a manager, then their dreams are going to come true. Tell them how wrong they are, Rob Williams.
they're very wrong. You know, obviously that helps, but, you know, you've got to be out there and you've got to be working and you've got to be good. But, you know, if you have someone who can help you get in the door, that's great. But you still have to show up to the auditions. You still have to be good at what you do. You've got to network and you've got to, you know, promote what you do. It's tough. Just, you know, I've known some actors who have been in one or two movies and they kind of expect the world to be knocking at their door and say, please, please work with me, be in my movie. And that doesn't happen. You have to work at it.
That's right. And an agent and a manager may take you on if you're lucky for some reason. But if they don't see that you're out there pounding the pavement and bringing in the projects and constantly working, they are going to drop your ass. So because they want people that are going to bring them recognition, there's a reason they take you on, not only for a percentage of your fees, but if you're not working, you know, they've got other people. Sometimes they have 10, 20 other people that they're representing. So don't think that you're sitting by the phone waiting for them to do something for you. You've got to be out there doing your own thing.
Very exactly.
Yeah. So now, if you decide that you want or need a collaborator on your film, how do do you determine if someone is truly worthy collaborating on a film project with you? Questions. We have a lot of people, and this kind of ties in what we were just talking about. A lot of people are sending me emails saying, you know, I just can't do it on my own. I work a full-time job, and I need to have somebody to be a partner with me. But I find that once I get involved with them, they get in. They may not agree on things. They may not have the same, you know, ideals, the end goal, personality conflicts. Which is going to happen, but they seem to need the other person because they can't get it done on their own. So I don't know if
right.
you actually ever had any collaborators. So I don't know if you can answer the question, but I guess maybe we
well,
can try.
I've been lucky enough. You know, my partner in Guest House Films is my partner in life, Rodney Johnson. And
oh.
so, you know, we were together, I don't know how many years, you know, over a decade before we started our production company. So, you know, we're collaborators in everything.
What are things like some tests? Like, you got to kind of know. You can't just because somebody a lot of times, Rob, a person will want to be a collaborator with someone if they think that they have money. And that is so not
yes.
the reason to do it. What are some reasons?
Well, that's
actually,
and, you know, that's actually the one I think what people look for the most. Is they're looking for a collaborator, but what they're really looking for is a funder.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we certainly get a lot of people approaching us because they see that we've made six films and we're distributing other things. And so they, you know, kind of assume we're at a point where we are financing other people's films, and we're not. You know, if someone came to us with a great project, we might distribute it, but you know, you can't go out there and say, I've got an idea. I want you to pay for the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a lot of people have. They've got an idea, they've got a script, or they've got, you know, they want to be an actor in a movie, and they just want someone to make that happen. And, you know, you can't really rely on people like that. What people can do nowadays is use Kickstarter and Indiegogo and all these crowdsourced fundraising sites to raise the money themselves that will allow them to make the project on their own. Then they can seek out companies that maybe that can help them on the producing end if they don't really know how to get a film made. But, you know, too often people are just looking for money. They're not really looking for collaborators.
Mm-hmm. And describe, like, for example, a collaborator would be someone to help you make decisions, would take some of the work, would help you delegate, not just a collaborator that has some money. Because some of the times when you're in that position where you're seeking what you think is a collaborator, this may be a person that wants to do things their way. And if they have the money, they're going to do it their way, or they're going to want to do it their way. And then you could even be cut out of the project. God knows all kinds of things that could happen. So some of the things that you need to ask yourself before choosing someone to collaborate is what?
Is, are they doing the kind of projects that I want to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, look at their history, look at what they've done before. Talk to people they've worked with before. That's the most important thing you can probably do, is like not just look at, oh, I see you made this movie. That's the kind of movie I want to make. Talk to some of the actors, talk to some of the crew, and, you know, see if that person you want to work with is someone that is good to work with, and ask questions, find out all the information. I think you just have to. And you have to be realistic with yourself. You've got to ask yourself those questions. Mm. What am I looking for in a collaborator? Mm. Is it just money? Is it someone to show me the ropes? Is it someone to kind of take my idea and run with it and make it themselves? You know, there's all sorts of variations, and people just have to be really honest with themselves first on what they're looking for before they can ask the questions of what can you do for me?
Exactly. So don't go looking for someone just because they have the money, because you can get into some serious actually arguments, fights, and that doesn't look good for you. Personality is very important. You got to treat it like it's a job interview. You got to really find out, you know, get testimonials from people who they've worked with, because they could be smiling in your face 1 minute, next minute they will rip your weave right out of your head. So don't even think just
this,
because.
This is also, I mean, I think, you know, be smart and do your research. You know, we have received a lot of inquiries from people who say, I see that you're a production company. Here's script ideas that I have, or here's this idea. And it's not gay at all. And, you know, we are a motion picture production company that focuses solely on the gay world. And so when someone pitches us a project that isn't at all gay, it just tells me they haven't done their homework and, you know, they're not.
Exactly.
You know, it's very unprofessional.
Oh, my God. You just don't know. I'm telling you, some people, that's a separate subject. I don't want to go on a rampage about that. Okay. So why I'm going to ask you is, why would, what would you not want to see or experience from a person as a film partner?
Oh, what would I not want to see?
Mm-hmm. So you don't want to choose someone that's short-tempered, impatient. You don't want to choose someone who doesn't have a consistent work history with other people. What do you feel?
Right, and you know, I don't think you would look to see, you know, are they going to be considerate? Are they going to be thoughtful of what you are looking for? So you don't want someone who is solely out for themselves. You don't want someone who is just in it to get the money for themselves or to get the recognition for themselves. You want to find someone who wants to help you as much as you want to help yourself.
They really have to believe in your vision and what you're working on. It really has to be something that they're excited about. It's not just that they want to get a credit as a producer or executive producer. It really has to be something they go, wow, that's such a great idea. I love it. And you really got to believe them, because I tell you, a lot of people say things out here and it's not really true. You got to really tune in, because some people just are so excited to get someone to work on their project that their instinct tells them, their intuition says, you know, they're not really interested, but they can be flashing those Benjamins around, and not Benjamin Lutz, the dollar. Of course, if you flash him around, they're going to want to work on the project, but flashing around some Benjamins, and then you don't listen to your instinct. So you really
follow your gut, follow what you see, and definitely ask around. If you're going to get into business with anyone on any level, do your research. Talk to people, get references, whatever.
You do. And honey, I even go a step past that. I run a credit check on them if I can. So, yeah, I run a background, because you don't know. There are some people who really are sociopaths, and they can be anybody that they want you to think they are. All right. So how do you, okay, so we're at the stage now where we're all excited. How do we make people want to see our movies? How do you do it, Rob? How do you make them want to see it? So excited.
Okay. First of all, make a good movie. That's, I mean, bottom line, if you don't make a good movie, people aren't going to be excited to see it. But then, you know, assuming you've made your movie, how do you get people interested in seeing it?
Mm-hmm.
You go on the film festival circuit. You try to get some buzz from it that way. You know, it's, that's the best way to reach your audience. Especially if you've got a targeted audience.
I'm glad you said that. Let's talk real quick about that, and then we'll continue on. A lot of people have come to me with questions of discouragement. They have heard these things about how you enter your film, you pay these fees, because you normally do have to pay a be to enter a film festival, especially the big ones. And they say that they've heard that their film doesn't even get viewed. They pay the fee. Their film isn't even viewed because there are thousands and thousands and thousands. What do you say to that? Because I think that it might possibly be true. And if so, how do you get the people at the film festivals to see your project? Obviously, they're going to go with celebrities first, and they do keep spots for that. But why don't you address that issue?
Right. Well, I mean, I wish I could say that that doesn't happen, but I think in a lot of cases it's true. But it's especially true if you make a very small film without any stars in it, and maybe it's not something completely original, and then you submit it to the really big film festivals. You know, you submit it to the Sundance and the Tribecas and the, you know, the LA film festivals and kind of the really big film festivals. The competition for those is very, very fierce. And I'm not saying anything about those festivals. I've never even approached them.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea. You know, you'd like to assume they watch everything, but
They don't, honey. I'm just putting it out there. They don't. They've got slots. They've got a certain amount of slots for celebrities, and they get first priority, obviously. And more celebrities
probably
are doing independent films. And so you probably – I think I'm with Rob. You should start with – in my opinion, you should start with the smaller film festivals and gain some
– Right, and you should start with the smaller ones and also be very smart and very targeted about who you reach out to. One of the reasons we started making gay films was not just because those are the stories that we want to tell, but it's also, it's a very specific market. Mm-hmm. And there's a very specific film festival circuit for gay films. So for us, for instance, it was very easy to target the festivals that we needed to reach because there are, you know, X number of gay film festivals in the world.
Right.
You know, if you... What you just be smart about, it's like, you know, what are the niche markets? There are horror film festivals. There are, you know, film festivals for women filmmakers. I mean, there's all sorts of different targeted film festivals.
Yeah, don't
think
just
about how you
one.
Can. Yeah, think about how you can make a film that's going to stand out in those specific markets.
Exactly. Look for the trends.
Everyone that. Yes,
superhero
and, you know,
trends, Western trends. Try to write something that's trending right now, right, Rob?
Right. You know, look at what's popular. Look at what's sold. And, you know, don't make everyone that I know who really wants to make a film and they made like the quintessential road trip, quirky movie. You know, it's like everyone makes that. There's a ton of those out there. It's very hard to break through. But if you make, you know, a very specific sort of gay film or horror film or, you know, this or that, or you can get a star in it somehow, you know, it'll stand out. It's just being smart about the market. Look at what sells, look at what's going to work, and look at how you can stand out from the rest.
It's exact. Again, it's a business. You've got to have an R&D department in your business, research and development. So think of yourself, again, you are a business. You are an entrepreneur. You have to have a marketing department and a sales department and an accounting department and an R&D, and you are it. Unless you can harass your partner into doing it for you, bribe or whatever, some people that believe in you want to help, but you have to do it all yourself. Now, let's talk about films. How does one not waste time? Basically, how do you get everything you need to get done on a budget? What do you think the secret is?
Oh, well, I think part of the secret is having a budget and is having a time frame goal. This is what we can spend on this. And we want to have this done by X date. Because if you have a goal and you're working towards that, you will get it finished. Too many people I know have spent, you know, a year or two editing their films because they don't have a deadline and they just, they want to make it the best they can be. But if you don't say it's, you know, it has to be done by this date, you can work in that film forever.
I know. So, there's always something to edit. You can edit it to death. How do you, Rob, how do you encourage people to achieve their very best and to work their fastest on your projects? How do you do that? Because you don't want to, like, be rude and say, okay, we got to get it done, got to get it done. Because a lot of times when you're starting out, you're asking people to volunteer their time. So, I mean, hopefully you got some money for them,
well,
but a lot of times you don't. So how do you?
Well, first of all, you should always find the money to pay your crew.
I agree.
You can, you know, it's great if you can find one or two people who want to volunteer for it as a PA to you'll get some experience. But if you're asking your director of photography or your sound guy to work for free, you know, you're not going to be there.
You're not going to get the product. Because they're going to work on projects that are paying them money, right, Rob? They're going to go work on those?
Yes. They're going to go work on those. So, first of all, pay your crew and feed your crew well. That's what I was told first thing, and it's like that makes the most difference.
Yeah.
We shot our last film, The Minixor, in 10 days. Which is a very fast shoot. It was 100 pages, and we shot it in 10 days.
Wow.
Because it was our sixth film, we're very organized. We know how fast we can shoot, and it's just a matter of we have to get this done today. And so everyone knows, everyone, you know, we talk to everyone that we're working with so that we explain to them, and they know this is how fast we're going to be working, this is what we expect of you. So that when we get on set, everyone is, you know, there's that team spirit and camaraderie of, you know, we've got to get this done. And I've got an amazing crew. I've worked with some really great people that I'd like to bring back. And you just have to set that goal. And then for us, and we set a goal of we're going to shoot this. And then our goal is to have the premiere of a work in progress at this film festival on this date. So we knew we had to finish. We actually had this film edited in like 6 weeks.
Wow.
Because we told ourselves that we had to do it.
Had to do it. Now, I don't know if you have jobs that, like, day jobs and you take the money to invest in your films or how your process works. But my question that I want to know is, why do you think someone will decide to invest in your film? Like, what can you say or give them to make them invest? What do you think is going to be their deciding factor?
Well, I think first and foremost, it's going to be the quality of the film. You know, if you make a film that is good and is popular and, you know, you're proud to show them, you know, that's the best calling card you can have. And then if you have a track record and say, you know, this is what's happened in the past, maybe they'll be a little more inclined to invest. But it's doing your research. It's looking at the market and really being realistic about, we think we can sell X number of DVDs. We think we can get X amount of money for the video on demand.
Yes, and you've got to really think about putting that in a business plan format. The more professional you are, the more confident someone is going to feel in investing, because they're going to think, oh man, he has his shit together. Ooh. You know,
You know, you've got to have that business plan so that it shows them, you know, this is what the project is. Here's who's involved with the project. Here's who's attached to the project. Here's where what we're going to do with the project when we're done. And here's the ultimate goal for it creatively and financially. And you've got to have a very polished document ready so that people can read it and know everything that is going to happen. They will be more confident.
It's so true. And a lot of people who are filmmakers, they're not really that detail oriented. They can talk, they can tell you about it, but bottom line is, you, if you can't do it yourself and you can't focus to be able to do a business plan, you better have somebody do it for you, because that's just going to help you so much more. Now, Rob, what do you consider money that is well spent on a film and what isn't?
What is well
like,
spent
I think,
on a film?
I think a huge amount of money should be for the editor and the sound, because, and the color correction, that is so important. But, you know, that's just my thing. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, you have to allow for all of the post work. I think a lot of people don't.
They don't.
I need this much money to shoot the movie,
yep,
and they don't think about the editing. They don't think about the music. They don't think about sound. They don't think about any of that stuff. And especially nowadays, you know, you've got to have it really polished for video on demand. You've got to think about DVD special features. You've got to think about all of that when you're shooting.
I can, after I make the movie and I do the festivals, I'm going to put it on Hulu or Mubi or Pivot Share, and they're not going to take some tacky ass uncolor corrected process. I mean, I've gone to a couple film festivals recently, and you wouldn't believe how these people did not color correct the project, and they spent so much money on it. And I'm like, why?
Mm-hmm.
Why did you not do that? So I think in post-production is really my viewpoint. Is,
yeah, I mean, that's certainly where you can't scrimp on that. In terms of the actual production, I said it earlier, it's like, spend the money on food. And you'd be surprised, if you feed your crew well, how happy they are, because everyone who's worked on a movie has a horror story about, they worked on a film and they had bologna sandwiches for lunch, was it.
Mm-mm.
And it's like, no. You, they're working hard, especially, you know, the grips and the, you know, the, all of those people, they're working so hard, they're exhausted. You've got to feed them well. And it's like, you don't scrimp on food. And it sounds so silly to say it's not.
As a lover of food, being a fluffy person over here, let me tell you, nobody is going to starve on my film set. I've got the fried chicken coming in abundance. There is everything. It's like a Vegas buffet on my film sets, because I love me some food now, honey. But yes, it's very important. And not only that, if you could – now, I know this sounds crazy, and Rob may even think it's crazy, but – I think it's very important. If you can afford to have one of your friends who is a masseuse come on the set and give 5-minute massages, you would be amazed at how much that helps morale and how that perks
that
people
is
up.
That's true.
Yeah, and who doesn't
have the little things.
Yeah. It's the little things. And if you don't have a friend that's a professional masseuse, get a hot-ass guy like Benjamin Lutz to come over. Just wear a little bikini and massage you. Who doesn't know how to massage? You just put your hands on somebody and it feels good. You don't have to be professional. But that is – think of things that you can do to go above and beyond just to make it a little special. Give a little swag bag, even if it's something little from the 99-cent store. It makes a difference. Now – let's go into the email questions, and then we're going to talk about your films. I have two email questions that came in. The first one came in from Alistair from Long Island, New York, and he said, "Dear Rob, how do you make sure you don't need more material after you finish principal photography?" It's a very specific question.
You have to be very diligent about getting what you need during the principal photography. And, you know, I will be honest, there have been times on every single one of my films where I wish I could go back and either reshoot a scene or, you know, film something new. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you just can't afford it. So you just have to plan. You have to write your script, make sure, because it all goes down to the script. It's like, you know, write the script so that it's tight, that it's everything that you need. And then when you're on set, you know, get everything you need, get the coverage you need.
Have somebody do it.
It's planning.
I think you just need to hire someone and say, this is what I need you to do, or delegate to someone and make that their focus, that they're focusing on the principal photography. You just have to delegate.
Yeah.
I have a production assistant.
And, you know, as a director, you know, I go through every day of the shooting. So I've got every day broken down. And in every scene, you know, I break down exactly what kind of coverage I need so that it's not just getting to the set and oh, we'll just see what we can get. It's like, no, I need the master on this. I need a two-shot here. I need, you know, singles on these people. I need inserts here. You know, it's like you've got to have that list and you've got to know exactly what you need. And
that way
you won't miss anything.
I love that because you sound just like me. I'm a micromanager and I am proud to
mm-hmm.
say it. People say, oh my God, you've got a list for a list for a list and there's color-coded stuff. What's wrong with you? Yes, I'm a micromanager, but I can't stand to not cover all the details. I think it's better to be safe than sorry. I really do. And it's about time.
Absolutely.
So call me a micromanager. I don't care. I don't call me anal retentive.
Yeah, exactly. I'm the same way. And, you know, it's like I don't want someone coming up to me and saying, you know, how many more shots do we have left and I don't know? Or,
exactly.
You know, what's my wardrobe for this scene? It's like, I don't know. No,
so,
I want to have it all in my binder so that I can go, this is what we're doing. This is the day, blah, blah, blah.
Exactly. That way people will feel more confident working with you. So take our advice, Alistair from Long Island, New York. Hope that helped you. Last question from the email list. This comes from Blair from Seattle, Washington. I don't know if that's a male or female, so I'm going to say he or she asked, hey, Rob, in doing work in this industry with all of the trials and errors, constantly searching or begging for money, how do you not grow jaded and make something – boy, this is a long-ass question. Okay, let me start again. All right. In doing this industry with all of the trials and errors, constantly searching or begging for money, how do you not grow jaded and make sure you maintain a sense of wonder, a joy of discovery, an appreciation of mystery, and love of simply doing the work you know you really love? Wow, that's a long-ass question, Blair. All right, go ahead. See if you can pick that one.
But that's a great question, Blair, and thank you for writing in. You have to love what you do, and you have to believe in your project. If you're doing a project solely for money, or you're doing it because you think this is what people want, you're not going to feel that love, and you're not going to feel that excitement and that wonder. You need to do the projects and the stories that you love to tell. And that way, when you get on set, it is a magical experience. I mean, there is something about, there was something on filming The Men Next Door when we got there, and it was just so special and magical. And, you know, for 10 shooting days, you love this world. And, you have to love it. You have to believe in what you're doing, and it's very hard.
Like excitement, but if it starts to feel like a job, and you're starting to feel stressed out, I think that you need to reevaluate why it's happening.
Well, yes, and you know you're always going to have that. There's always that moment where you say, "Why am I doing this? This is too hard, or this is you know too whatever." And sometimes you just have to step back and think, okay, you know what? I'm doing what I always wanted to do. When I have a really bad day on set, for whatever reason, if something's going wrong, you know, my standard answer to myself is, I'm making movies, which is what I've always wanted to do, and I get to tell really hot guys to take off their clothes and make out. I film it. And you know what? That makes me feel better.
It would make me feel better, too. That's it. I'm coming to visit your film set. I want an invitation. That's it. I want to see that, too. But I think that in Blair's question, I think the crux of the question is the jaded would probably come from the constantly searching or begging for money. You know what? That is something you have to do. No ifs, ands, or buts.
That's something you have to do, and that's something you have to work your ass off to make money. And, you know, you've got to promote your film. You've got to work at making it good. You've got to do the film festivals. You've got to network. I've said it, you know, I'm repeating myself, I know, but it's like, once you've got something done, you've got to get out there and promote it and support it. And you cannot just put it out there and think, people are going to find us, because they won't.
You cannot have the mentality, if you build it, they will come, because they're not going to come unless you have a loudspeaker out there telling everybody about it. So you can become easily jaded with the part about begging and searching for money. Yes, but you have to do it. And if you love what you're doing enough, you're going to do it. And you're just going to hopefully you'll keep thinking of creative ways to do it. But the secret is not to let people sense the desperation. You can't let them smell the desperation for money on you. You got to make them feel like, boy, you want to get in on this project. This is something hot. You are,
And you got to know that, you know, when you're starting out, whatever money you make from your first project, it's going to be immediately invested into your second project.
Exactly.
Et cetera, until you get outside investors or you get the distribution or whatever. And just know that it's like, you're not going to make a fortune off of tiny little indie gay films unless you're extraordinarily lucky.
Yeah, and you'll be lucky if you even break even. So there you go, Blair. Hopefully you got the answer. I think we covered everything. Now let's talk about you, the sixth and newest film, The Men Next Door. It's about a 40-year-old guy who falls in love with a 30-year-old and a 50-year-old man who turns out to be the father and the son. Oh, my God. What is going on in your mind over there? Did you write it, too? Tell us about it.
Yes, this film I wrote, I directed, I produced it with my partner Rodney, and it's a comedy, and I wanted to look at kind of dating dilemmas when you are kind of, you know, 40-ish, you know, the fact that you might be dating someone who's 10 years younger and you might be dating someone who's 10 years older. Mm-hmm. And then as I was developing the story, it just sort of, it's like, well, what if they were father and son? And, you know, that kind of was the hook that got me going
but
in terms of a writer.
Did they know that the father and son know they were dating the same person, or did they not know?
Not at first, no. Okay. And the guy who's dating both of them doesn't know at first. And then once they do, then it's sort of like, you know, everything, wackiness ensues, as they say.
I like that. Well, that concept could be for a heterosexual couple too. I mean, you can relate
absolutely
to your, because I've watched tons of reality television. This happens all the time, apparently. So there you go.
Yes.
Now, the hot Benjamin Lutz is on this now. He's been in several of your movies. I think he was in your horror movie Bite Marks and The Love Patient.
Well, yes, I wasn't involved with either of those films, but yes, those are his films.
Oh, you were not. Oh, okay. Oh, God, I thought for sure you were involved with that, because I know you and Benjamin worked together on a lot of projects, or at least I thought you did. So,
this is our first one. It's weird because we actually have a lot of mutual friends, and he in those films, he worked with people we've worked with, and so it's the gay film community is a very small community, so...
Right. So
Benjamin is fantastic.
Well, I can say that. Lord have mercy. Now, Guesthouse Films has recently become a distributor of gay films. And in addition to producing films, I understand that you've just released a heartwarming Australian documentary called The Doctor's Wife on DVD. What's that about?
Yes. I'm so proud of this film. It's a documentary out of Australia. It's about a gay couple who one of them is a doctor who moves from a big city in Australia to a very small city in rural Queensland as part of his, you know, paying off medical loans. He has to move to the small town and do this work. And they're very, scared of what the reaction is going to be from a town of 1,000 people in a very rural area to a gay couple and a gay doctor. And they, documented it to see what the reaction was. And it turned out that the city just embraced them. And
wow.
They got really involved with the town, and it's a real heartwarming story because they really went into it thinking, we don't know what's going to happen. And as it, it's one of those things where people surprise you and are supportive and loving, and they, you know, became such a part of the community, and it's a really wonderful feel-good story. And it's, again, it's the doctor's wife, and it's
on DVD. Now,
yes.
the movie just came out, The Man Next Door, on December 11th, and then all of your
yes.
other films. How can we find them? Where can we go to see any of your projects? The Black Briefs, The Blue Briefs, The Doctor's Wife. Where can we go?
You can certainly go to Amazon. That's the easiest. They have everything.
And type in Rob
you can
Williams.
Type in Rob Williams. You can, or type in The Men Next Door or Black Briefs or whatever. You can go to our website, which is guesthousefilms.com. We sell all of the movies that we distribute, and there's also links from there where you can go to the gay sites like Wolf Video and TLA. Where they sell all the gay titles. And, just do a search for us on Facebook for Guest House Films. There's links to everything there. And some of the movies are on iTunes. Some of them are on Amazon Instant Video. So, you know, there's ways to find them if you want to download or buy the DVD, whatever you want.
You just need to go to guesthousefilms.com. Well, my God, we are done, Rob Williams. I want to thank you so much for coming on the film. Jesus, God, I need a cocktail. Coming on the show, I want to tell everyone there will not be a show next week. We won't be coming back until the 30th. And I just want to congratulate you, Rob, real quick. You were recently honored with an invitation to come to India's Mumbai International Queer Film Festival. And you were presented with a career career retrospective of your work. So I wanted to congratulate you on that. And I want to invite
you,
of course, to come back so we can find out what happened to The Men Next Door, starring the hot, buttery Benjamin Lutz. Go now, guesthousefilms.com. Thank you, Rob, for coming on the show. Say goodbye to your fans.
Thank you so much to everyone who's listening, and thank you so much for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome, darling. GuestHouseFilms.com. Bye, everybody. Merry Christmas.
Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.